Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Growing Social Now. I'm your host, Barbara Rosgoni, and today I am beyond delighted to welcome two really fun people who are former corporate peers and they're great friends now. I know you're going to learn a lot from them, and our topic today is going to be the do's and don'ts for crafting corporate social media contracts for employees, which is a super important topic. So let me get started by telling you a little bit about each of them. First of all, Sharon McIntosh is president of And Then Communications. With more than two decades of communications experience, Sharon has a passion for creating and executing new ideas to drive employee engagement at companies both large and small. Most recently, Sharon served as PepsiCo's Vice President of Global Internal Communications, overseeing the company's efforts to connect with its more than 274,000 employees worldwide. That's a lot of people. Sharon and her team launched a number of innovative employee initiatives, including the company's first social media training called Smart You, a social tool to share internal news externally, and PepsiCo's award-winning employee ambassador program. Sharon and her team also developed a communication strategy to support the company's first comprehensive global and multi-year transformation initiative. Before joining PepsiCo in 2004, Sharon spent 7 years at Sears. Among her greatest contributions there, she launched a marketing strategy for life events, ran user experience for the company's e-commerce site, and introduced the company's first intranet, which I was honored to even be a small part of. It was such a fun project. Prior to Sears, Sharon worked at Waste Management, publishing more than 14 annual reports for various business units, managing shareholder meetings, drafting senior executive speeches, and handling media relations. Sharon graduated with a BA in journalism from Marquette University and an MA from DePaul University. She lives in Norwalk, Connecticut. Now, our second Sharon is Sharon Phillips. And Sharon is the principal of Sharon Phillips Communications, which focuses on employee engagement and corporate communication strategy and support. Prior to relaunching her consultancy in 2014, she served as Director of Global Internal Communications at PepsiCo. During her 7 years with the company, Sharon led corporate communications and employee engagement initiatives, including the launch of the company's inaugural Employee Ambassador Program, global transformation of its operating model, and first global internal communications audit. Earlier in her career, Sharon served as senior communications manager at Allstate Insurance Company, where she led a team of 8 responsible for executive and internal communications for the company's IT division. Before Allstate, Sharon served as director of internal communications at Sears Holdings Corporation, focused on CEO and change management communications. During her time at Sears, Sharon created an award-winning communications program that improved relations with the company's activist retiree group and helped drive numerous merger, productivity, and change management initiatives for the evolving company. Earlier, Sharon served as senior vice president at a full-service public relations agency, serving a broad spectrum of business-to-business and professional services clients. Sharon holds a BA in English from the University of Missouri, and she lives in the Charleston, South Carolina area. And what they don't have on their bios is they're both podcasters. And you can listen to their podcast, EE Voice, which is very exciting. And one thing about Sharon Phillips, I would not be here today if it were not for Sharon Phillips, because she told me that I could be a writer and a communications consultant. I think she was expecting her third. I went on to have 3 children as well. And thank you, Sharon, because I really don't think I'd be here without you. And I'm glad you're here today.
That's great. I didn't know that story. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, she was very inspiring. And I thought if she can do it, I can do it. And so thank you so much.
And you've done it in spades. Yeah.
So it's great to be here today. And as someone who works with corporations, I specifically usually work around social selling. And one of the things we do is we look at the corporate social media policy, which can be everything from like 2 or 3 slides to a big handbook. And I know this is, to me, one of the most important parts as a communications professional is having a guide to go to. So what are some of the key elements of a good corporate social media policy, Sharon?
Well, you know, it is a big topic. And if you're really serious about delving into this, I really suggest you do some major research. But there really are just a couple of focuses that are really important to any corporate social media policy. They need to include sharing, how to share confidential information, how to post, what is defamatory or inflammatory content, and then also posting information and pictures that are illegal. So you need to really kind of cover those three watch outs with your employees and that policy. But even these really need the help of a good lawyer. So you need to talk with the legal department of your company or organization. For example, as we know, the Biden administration right now is really shaping the National Labor Relations Board. And as the top U.S. enforcer of labor rights, they're really expected to, you know, kind of chart the course for companies in this realm. So really, you need to be very clear about your accountability and your social media policy. So that attorney that you work with really needs to know that, as well as know social media pretty well. But I think we all just really need to remember that employees are all about trying to do the right thing. Most employees are not about getting you in trouble making a mistake that might lend them in hot water with their boss or whatever. They really are about, you know, putting the best foot forward. So they really want to engage as your brand ambassadors, but they want to follow the rules. You just need to make those clear for them. So give them, you know, clear guidelines, such as saying on their post that any views are their own and not the company's. They need to be clear about that.
Yeah, and I'll add that in a crisis, that social media policy really becomes critical. Because I always say employees, while the communications department is thinking about how the company is responding, employees are part of the company and they're conducting these mini press conferences in their homes, in the barbecues, trying to respond in a crisis. So to have those clear guidelines ahead of that are so important.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's really a good point, the mini press release conferences. And it's everything from when do we go back to work, and it could be somebody who is a VP and, you know, they're just saying, well, I can't wait to get back to work, but nobody knows. So yeah, I think really having the employee understand that they do have value as a spokesperson, whether they realize it or not.
That's right.
Yeah. So you said in the statistic that about 70% of all Americans have at least one social media profile, and that's almost everyone. Many of them are active posters, which means an online comment or tweet can go viral. So today's social media environment demands that organizations have policies in place to protect its image and reputation and provide practical guidelines for employees. And if you look at what we've been through over the last year, it's just, I cannot believe how many reasons or how many opportunities there have been to comment on social media. And I understand that you face this challenge at PepsiCo. Can you share a bit about how you first approached this and maybe what we can do today? What can we learn from you?
Sure. Yeah, glad to talk to you about it. So I think where we first came from was the policy that we had in place, which was fairly bare bones, as I remember, Sharon. And it really focused on the more the do not rather than the do section of the policy. And I think, Sharon, you really took the lead in this. But when you brought forward, you said we should really be emphasizing how our employees can interact on social media rather than being this punitive don't situation. So what we did is we worked with HR and the social media team, as well as legal, to craft our policy. And we also benchmarked other companies because we really wanted to see what other companies were doing in this realm. But importantly, we wanted to ensure it wasn't just a policy, but we needed to activate it. So that's where the social media training came into play. We created an online Smart You, which Sharon took the real big helm on this, and I thought it was just amazing. We did it was really fun. It was very engaging. It was easy to understand. And the best thing is that it got a real buzz around it. And employees were, you know, eager to take the social media training because it was fun. It wasn't like an onerous task to go through. And then what we did is we used employees who had taken the training to help sell it. And they created videos, for instance, to help share about how much fun it was and what they learned, and then how they went about using social media with their or talking about the company on their social media accounts.
And videos that were better than if we would have hired someone to do the videos. Yeah. They were incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so what you're really doing then is you're empowering them and you're almost encouraging them, would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say we were encouraging them and I guess acknowledging what you brought forward Barb, your employees are already on social media.
Right.
So that's why your lawyer and your HR partner become some of your best friends in this. Once they understand the risk of people mm-hmm. being out there and talking without knowledge of what your social media policy is, they're on board. So mm-hmm. it's acknowledging that they're out there, and again, making it something that they're welcoming and engaging mm-hmm. with, so it sticks. This policy cannot be something that you just post up on your website and you step away from.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I love that approach. I do. It's more like a team approach. And mm-hmm. I think it probably gives people more ownership in their position at the company as well.
Oh, yeah.
Loyalty, if you would say. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And increases engagement, employee engagement.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Why is employee engagement so important?
So employee engagement really drives the entire business. You can actually detach numbers. If you have a higher employee engagement, you're going to have higher revenues. So everything we do in communications, we always attach back to how it helps the business. Mm-hmm. And it's critical. So we actually did even when we were back at PepsiCo, did a study and compared the people who went through the training versus the people who didn't go through the training. The people who went through the training actually had a higher engagement.
Right. Wow.
And my boss was arguing, I remember she was arguing with me at the time saying, well, is that correlation correct? And I said, well, I can't prove that the people, if they hadn't gone through, you mm-hmm. know, that or that the training increased their engagement. What I can say is that I now know these are highly engaged employees.
Right.
And we use them when Sharon Phillips started expanding her ambassador program.
Right, right. Yeah. These were people who are already on board, and we knew that. And so anything more that we did with them, any other ways of activating them or giving them license to be able to talk about the company, they ran with it. And mm-hmm. and then they influenced other people, other employees that they were colleagues of theirs. They would share about the social media training. Come on, you got to take this. Maybe you want to be an ambassador, and they get on our ambassador program also. So, and then obviously in the recruiting realm too, engagement. I mean, your employees are your best recruiters for the company.
Right.
And yes. if they think positively of it, of their own experience and how the company treats them, they're going to go out and share that with other potential, you know, new employees. So always a good thing.
And we always kept both in the training and in the ambassador program, the what's the benefit to you? So obviously we're doing it because there's benefits to the company in that employee engagement piece of it. But what is the benefit to you as an employee? And it mm-hmm. really came down to about building your personal brand.
Right.
And we had lots of employees who are really interested in social media and wanting to get better at it. And we provided those trainings as well.
Right.
That's great. And were there, would you say it was by any kind of specific job titles that were more effective than others? It was across the board?
Across the board.
Yeah.
That's fine as well.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you want those employees that, you know, had a good reputation going into it. They mm-hmm. were good, productive, positive employees. And those people, you know, come from every department, every function. Mm-hmm. And we really welcomed and wanted people all the way down from, you know, administrative assistants all the way up to, you know, vice presidents were part mm-hmm. of our ambassador program. And they all learned from each other.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's true. Yeah. So what are some of the mistakes organizations make when they draft their social media policies? What are the don'ts, I guess?
The don'ts. Yeah. I would say first the one and done. So if you have created your policy and you haven't touched it mm-hmm. in the last year, mm-hmm. you're in trouble. These things change. This is unlike, it's almost the wrong word to call it a policy because mm-hmm, right. a policy, I think people think of it as creating something and then putting it up. I'm done, met with the right. team. This constantly has to be looked at. The laws are constantly changing. As Sharon mentioned earlier, the NLRB is getting in there. There's, you know, lawsuits that are out there that are discussing social media policies. So it's something you should constantly, constantly be looking at.
And so then
I was going to say the second thing is to watch the language. It's sort of connected to that because companies want to come at it understandably. and say, this is what we don't want you to do. And what you have to be really careful about is with these laws changing, again, the policy that we had at PepsiCo would no longer apply.
Right.
Because things keep changing over time. You can now legally talk about things in the workplace. That has been challenged in the courts. So you have to get really specific. Things about confidentiality. The one piece on the Biden administration that we're pushing on right now is to make sure the confidentiality is really specific.
Yeah.
Those are the types of things you kind of have to think about. Sharon, right. Sharon, what else would you add to that?
Well, I think we just said it before, but I don't think I can overtalk it. Don't be so restrictive and taking that over the top, don't do attitude. I think that's the biggest turnoff, and it scares employees. They want to know how to do it right. But if they feel at all hesitant that they're going to misstep, they're not going to share. They're not going to share on their social media. So I think we need to really trust and know that your employees are your best ambassadors and encourage them in the correct way. So make it a positive focus of your policy.
And bring your HR and legal folks in early. Make sure this is owned not just by communications or not just by legal.
Right.
This should be owned by a team of people, and it should have a process that backs it up, not just the policy.
Right.
So if we were going to change the name from policy, what would you call it?
It's a great question.
Guidelines
might be too loose, but I would want it to feel more like a process than a policy. Policy feels like it's stagnant, where the process, something that gives you a little bit more flexibility to respond.
So a social media covenant.
There you go.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once the covenant is drafted and approved, how do you suggest going about it to communicating it to employees? I know you mentioned videos. And one question I would have too is, would you recommend doing episode specific types of updates, like around any kind of any kinds of advocacy that's going on we haven't had anything right really recently, but last summer there was just a whole range of different things. So
I think it's constantly reminding employees, and I would say, I'll add a do not, is that you just put something in your newsletter saying your social media policy changed.
Okay.
Read it here.
Yeah.
So how do you bring it to life for employees?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, I love, and it worked really well to help employees bring that to life for you. That's kind of how we did it with our training. There should be some type of training that goes with it. I think that's really important. Dell is the one that really led that effort ages ago. It's certainly the group we benchmarked when we did ours. But get out there, look at what other companies are doing it, and look at who's doing it really, really well, and start emulating a lot of those best practices that are out there. So really encouraging employees' feedback on the policy as well. And just, again, remind that there should be some type of process in place that constantly sort of checks in and says, all right, have we communicated about this recently? If so, you know, how are we doing that? How are you measuring that communications? I would really treat it like this ongoing change communication plan. As we do any other change communication, where we're looking at stakeholders, we look at the process, it's about a behavior change. How do you measure that behavior change? That should all be included when you're thinking about a social media policy. It's much bigger than just the policy itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Good change communication plan will go a long way, for you.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you think is doing a good job at all this?
I haven't seen any social media policies internally, in a while, but I think there's the good news is I think there's a lot of good information out there on the web. I think this is super searchable. You can go find it yourself. And I would also look for those folks within your own industry.
Yeah, there used to be a site, I think it was like a wiki or something that had social media policies.
Where they had like a ton of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's probably something out there like that now. So can you share your thoughts on how to train and encourage employees to be brand ambassadors using their own social media? How would you do that?
Sure, I'm gonna let Sharon answer the question about brand ambassadors because she really championed the entire brand ambassador.
Oh yeah,
at PepsiCo.
Yeah, that was a blast. We had so much fun working with them on this. And the bottom line is that we really put them through the social media training like we did all of our employees. But they had another advanced opportunity to take a little bit more in-depth a look at how to become adept at social media for the company. And mm-hmm. so we took them in live, not only on the online program, but we actually took them in an in-person live arrangement of it, where we not only let them do kind of modeling with each other, how to talk about a certain situation, but they get really able to ask their questions and say, well, what if I'm in this situation, this comes up, how should I approach it? Should I write it this way or that, or do I bounce it to somebody else, or do I answer a question, or do mm-hmm. I work with consumer relations or whatever. So we could actually walk them through all these different scenarios, which gave them even, added, ability to be able to feel confident when they go on online. And then, of course, we use them, as we did earlier, with the videos of them doing videos to share that social media training with others. And they did a fabulous job with that. And then what we did also is we provided them with ongoing content that they could easily share out with on their accounts. So with just a couple of clicks, it was just something delivered to their box all the time. So they could take it, put their own spin or their own, approach to it, but take that content and then share it on their social media. So it was very easy. We gave them a variety of ways to do this every week. And then we also created a newsletter for them weekly, which gave some great examples of others that had shared on their social media accounts and things that had gone viral or had done really well. And then it was very important for them to understand the company and understand our product portfolio. So we had monthly meeting with our ambassadors where we took them through our various brands. We talked about the positives of it. And then we also talked to them about issues that were coming up, issues that our mm-hmm. consumer relations department was dealing with customers, for instance, and gave them the talking points they needed to be able to address them with their friends and their family, just, one-on-one as well as on their social media.
Wow, that's so great. And I think it contributes to being authentic for the employee and the company.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was absolutely, I think, at the framework of a lot of our social media conversations with them, was that it had to be authentic. It had to be in their voice. We didn't want them just to take and paste and go with it. They had to take it and put their own view on it, or it was going to sound like it's,
it's just going to sound like it's canned. You can't just sort of take. Yeah. And by the way, we'd ask for their feedback. So if we had sort of helped them craft something and we'd hear the feedback to say, no. This is sounding like corporate stuff I would never share.
Well, we could see every through our social media tool where they were taking that content and using it. We could see what they used and what they didn't use. So we really had that diagnostic every week saying, oh, they really love this new product information on this, or they liked this issue and how we went about it, and they wanted to share that. So we'd be able to continually craft the right kinds of information that they needed to feel good about sharing.
And we had a lot, Sharon, correct me if I'm wrong, but we had a lot of ambassadors that were not sharing on social.
Yes.
And we just said, that's perfectly fine.
Yes. Yes.
Because you can be an ambassador internally as well, and that still benefits the company.
Yeah. And just sharing verbally with their friends and family.
Right.
About products or about the company itself. They're answering questions, obviously. They didn't have to be on social media.
Yeah. It's not as easy to track, but it's still important.
Yeah.
So it's great that you give them information they can share with the company news, but how can you help them do that without being overly prescriptive? And I think you did talk a little bit about how You asked for their feedback. Is there anything else you would add to that?
I mean, the training is so important because you want, that's where the social media policy comes back into place. You want people to understand those guidelines and kind of what space they can feel good and safe in and play in. And we highly, highly encourage them to customize. Right. But with a caveat, I would really want to do that with someone who's been trained on the social media policy.
Right.
So that's kind of where the two can come together.
Right. Yeah. And also, as I mentioned earlier, our ambassador group, for instance, were really networked together. They met monthly, and then they were also, we meet offline for social events and that type of thing. And they would share with each other, you know, what they felt works and what didn't work. So they learned from each other. So it was really, I think that made it, again, the authenticity came through in that way, because they were sharing. We weren't saying, you should talk about this or this. They were saying, no, this is what I did. And this really worked for me. You ought to try this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think as we move forward, we look at some of the trends that are happening in corporate right now with the big push for diversity, inclusion, and equity. We're hearing a lot more about employee activism. Do you think an effective social media policy should discourage employee activism, or how can it encourage it? Where do you draw the line? Where is there a line? I don't know.
The employee activism piece, I've been following this for about 2 years, and I just think it's so fascinating. This whole thing of, and where I believe the world is heading, at least in the short term, is really the stakeholder capitalism piece is starting to get 100% focused on employees. So they've got a lot more power than they've had in the past.
Oh, for sure.
I also think the Biden administration is going to put a bit of a gas pedal on that as well. But let me back up for a second, because I want to talk about kind of how I define employee activism. And I see it as I always call it the three V's.
Okay.
And that's that they're vocal, visible, and value-based.
Okay.
And when you think about when we were in corporate, not too long ago. Seems like yesterday. That we didn't have employees talking to the press.
No.
This just didn't happen. So this point of them being vocal and visible, even if you have, and I know there's policies out there that say this today, you can't talk to the press. They're going to talk to the press. Mm-hmm. And the reason is for that third V, that value-based. Because it is a internal value-based feeling so strong that they are passionate about whatever that value is. I spoke to an employee activist at Amazon, and she was talking about her passion for climate change. And I said, are you concerned you're going to get fired? She said, I'm concerned every day, but I feel so strongly about this I need to speak up. And she's the one who actually challenged the CEO during a shareholder meeting.
Wow.
And she eventually did get fired.
Oh.
But I think the law is going to probably come back on her side again if she decides to challenge that. But so preventing employee activism isn't really about the policy. But it's about the communications. It's about listening early and often and how effective your overall employee communication strategy is. And you have to, again, the policy comes back to you have to be careful about things and these trends that I'm also seeing saying, no, you can't talk about politics at work. We've seen that at companies like Coinbase. And there's an NLRB lawsuit against Google for firing several of its employee activists. And how you define politics gets really tricky. When you think about a company like Google, that's an international company, and the employees believe that what they're protesting was unethical. So what we define as workplace conditions is being expanded sometimes into politics.
Wow.
So I think that's where you have to be, you know, really careful. And that's where this ongoing communication. So in many ways, your social media policy will be providing the guidelines, but that to bring up these examples with employees to help mm-hmm. them understand. And then on the employee activism side, if you are in an employee activism piece, your social media policy may not provide all those legal protections you thought they were going to.
Right.
That's great advice. Wow. Wow. And I like the way you touched on trends. Is there anything else? I mean, we talked about so many different things. Is there anything else you think that we need to know about corporate social media covenants or trends that are coming up that people need to watch?
I would say to watch that, at least again, I would say in the next several years, this focus more on the employee. I believe that is where this is going to head. That is not where it has been in the past. Even from a consumer perspective, Edelman Trust Barometer recently right. stated that employees are now the number one stakeholder for the first time.
Yep.
So I think sort of being aware of that. And then the other piece, I would say, not so much a trend, but a watch out for executives out there. I've seen a couple of executives out there sort of declaring things. I don't think it was Coinbase. It was another company where the CEO was sort of stating what the policy was externally before he talked to his employees first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's not
and
good.
And that's not good. You no. always need to talk to employees
right.
first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that trend's going to continue.
Yeah. The wow. open two-way transparent dialogue. We can't say enough about it. We've been talking about it for years, but it's really rearing its head now because mm-hmm. we see what the after effects of a poor internal communications plan does. And when your leadership is not talking, you know, clearly and transparently with its employees, all kinds of things start happening. So I think, you know, again, everything is evolving so quickly right now that it's really hard to say what we're putting on paper today is going to be effective next month even.
Right.
And that's why you need to have these groups, if you haven't already, to have probably the same group you have with your who created your social media policy should be one that's not only examining the policy, not only examining what the external trends are, but what else is coming in sort of the crisis social
right.
sphere. So, you know, there's going to be more conversations about diversity, equity, and inclusion. There just is.
Right.
So how are you going to sort of handle these, and how do you put a process in place that you can quickly respond? There's, if you're talking social media, Barb, you know this better than anyone. You can't wait for 3 days and
no,
go through
can't.
All the approval process.
No, I was asked to help come up with social media guidelines for healthcare. And this was a few years ago. And they said, is it really important? And I said, well, just go ahead and ask your CEO and your board if they want to take out 2 days to think about how to respond to something on social media. They signed that contract and we were on our way.
That's right.
And it can, you know, we know that a tweet can take down a stock price, and this is beyond internal social media, but it's just a very, very powerful tool. And that was one of the goals with this podcast, was just to bring awareness around this issue and let people know that it's important. And I have always said that I don't care what department you look at in an organization, communications is the most important department. And if you're not paying attention there, then, you know, your company's not going to do well. And I just feel like I had the privilege of working alongside both of you super pros at Sears during the golden age. And I learned so much and I had such a great appreciation. So So before we take off, I want to have you each share where people can find you online. If you want to talk about what you do in your company, if they want more information. So.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Where do you want to take it?
Sure. You can find more about me at andthencoms.com. andthencoms.com. And I would love to connect with anyone on LinkedIn. As Barb was so kind to mention, Sharon and I co-host a podcast called EE Voice. And we love new listeners. We love hearing from people. And it's just such a pleasure, Barb, to be here with you and Sharon today. It feels like a wonderful reunion that was overdue.
Yeah.
For
And
sure.
I can be reached at LinkedIn also, and at SharonPhillips202@gmail.com. And again, let me echo Sharon. Please, let's take a listen to our eVoice podcast, because we're always looking for new people to talk with. Like Barb has reached out to us. We're always looking for new people to interview on our show, and would love to have your thoughts on topics to be able to address. So take a listen. Thanks,
that sounds
Barb.
Good. Oh, you're welcome. And then the very last part of my show is, what is your word of the day?
Ah. Covenant.
Covenant. Good one. I love it.
I don't like it. I like that word. It is. It's kind of like a almost a religious connotation.
It feels very spiritual.
It does.
I'm going to say the one I've been discussing with my clients day mm-hmm. in and out still is the word languishing, that was out of a New York Times article. But sort of, how do you get out of the languishing piece post-COVID? So that's the discussion and the word that's been on my brain, and how can I help my clients kind of breathe easier during these really, really stressful times.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you both. It's been an absolute pleasure. And yes, we need to get together and have another reunion, maybe off of Zoom. And for those of you who are listening in for the first time, please check out Growing Social Now, wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple, we got on Apple today. Yes, iTunes and Google and all those places. And I just appreciate your attention, and let's go out there and be social. That's it for now. And we'll see you next time.